People trying to get into nursing homes in Humboldt County and insured by Medi-Cal, the state's version of Medicaid, ran into a series of obstacles recently. They were turned away, told there were no beds available. Our guest documented the situation. Linda Stansbury is a reporter for the North Coast Journal. Her reporting indicated a shutout, no Medi-Cal patients getting into nursing homes in Humboldt County. There are many players and pieces involved, and let's work through those with Linda Stansbury. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. We just talked to the Oregon Long-Term Care Ombudsman Office about the general duties that, they go through. Apparently a similar office in your area was the starting point for this?
Absolutely. The Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program Manager, Susie Frugeau, was the first one to email in about this issue.
And what did she tell you?
She asked if we were aware that no patients were being admitted to local skilled nursing facilities. And to clarify, we haven't actually been able to establish a pattern that it's only Medi-Cal patients being turned away. What we're understanding from the long-term care ombudsman and from local doctors is that no patients were being admitted.
None at all?
None at all.
And yet there appear to have been vacancies, you discovered through some other channels.
Absolutely, yes. One of the facilities I visited, Seaview, had 26 open beds. When I started calling around and asking about people who had loved ones in skilled nursing facilities, I discovered that some of them had loved ones in facilities where there were open beds. They hadn't had roommates for months. So when people were told, who were trying to place their loved ones, when they were told that there were no beds, that was just an untruth.
And what kind of hardships was that putting onto the people who were trying to get loved ones into these facilities?
It was really heartbreaking. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in the position of caring for someone, but it's who's in that situation. It's a really stressful time, and so people were having to place their loved ones in skilled nursing facilities out of county in Redding, Santa Rosa, Willits, Oregon, you name it. And it's really difficult because they couldn't visit them as regularly as they'd like.
As we discovered in our earlier discussion in this hour, there can be many different kinds of facilities. Are we talking about, so what kinds are we talking about here?
Okay, thank you. Yes, skilled nursing facilities are especially designed to house people who are chronically ill, who have needs that maybe don't qualify them to be in acute care, such as the hospital. So when they're released from acute care and they need additional care, such as care for open wounds, if they have multiple sclerosis, stroke damage, et cetera, skilled nursing facilities are the next step for that care.
All right. And so there's always going to be a certain amount of need for those. Any idea, Linda, what the general picture is in the numbers of beds generally considered okay for? I mean, is it done by population? Did you get to that end of things and figure out what Humboldt County should have and what it does?
Well, there are a total of five major skilled nursing facilities in Humboldt County, and they have a little over 600 beds between them. And so you're asking, when these beds are full to maximum capacity, how full should they be?
Mm-hmm. Well, just how many beds? If there's a chronic shortage, or if there's a surplus.
Right, I understand. Well, those numbers are hard to quantify. I talked to the hospital to see if they could crunch those numbers for me, and they weren't able to do that. Part of it's privacy laws, and part of it is just it's a lot of data. And I think many people who are trying to place their loved ones once released from the hospital they may not be aware of their rights. They may not be aware that they have the right to place their loved one in a skilled nursing facility if they need additional care. And it seems, as I'm finding out after publishing this article, that a lot of people were unaware of how widespread this was. And so it's hard to get a comprehensive picture of what exactly is going on here.
Did you get a bunch of responses then from people who said they were in similar circumstances to the people in your article?
Oh, my gosh, I did. I had a lot of people write in and tell me, you know, that they were having similar issues with their brothers, their grandmothers, their husbands, their wives. And I also had some people, former employees of these facilities, contact me and say that I had only touched the tip of the iceberg.
Really, that they thought it was a much bigger issue than what you were portraying?
Not just the issue of people not being able to access skilled nursing, but some of the things that take place in the facilities themselves.
Like what?
Well, to back up just a little bit,
sure.
All five of these skilled nursing facilities are owned by the same owner-operator, Shlomo Rechnitz, and he is based in Los Angeles. He's the largest nursing skilled nursing provider in California, and he owns a little over 100, I think. And his facilities in particular have been singled out by the California Department of Health for having poor adherence to state and federal guidelines. Several of them have been decertified or shut down. And last year, the state blocked his buying 19 bankrupted facilities because he is, quote-unquote, a serial violator of health state and federal guidelines. So,
and is that the state's, quote, serial violator?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And so in 2011, his company bought five of the six skilled nursing facilities in Humboldt County. And so basically they have a monopoly here in Humboldt County. The major skilled nursing facilities are all owned by the same person. And what we're seeing with his facilities throughout the state and in Humboldt County is there is a large amount of violations of state and federal guidelines in terms of patient care, infrastructure. And when I spoke to both advocates, ombudsmen who visit the facilities, and people who had loved ones there, the impression I got is that many of the people in these facilities are not being cared for in a dignified or, for that matter, safe manner.
Which puts you in the interesting situation of having to look at this situation where people are trying to get into the nursing home facilities, and yet when they get there, they're not terribly being treated well, it would appear, based on lots of documentation.
Yes, absolutely. When I went through the state records for just a few of these facilities, I found instances of patient abuse, repeated issues with infrastructure in terms of facility upkeep. One of the things that didn't make it into my article was documented in the Sacramento Bee was that, I believe it was 2013, there was a facility that was using space heaters to warm patient rooms and warm the nurse's station, and basically just breaking multiple fire codes. And they had a lot of wiring issues. And that's really scary when you think about it.
I'm not surprised they're not allowed, given how easily they can set fires on a dump, which is to say nothing about the space heaters, but, you know, how they can end up getting things across them and used differently. We're talking about nursing home shutout in Humboldt County and issues within the nursing homes. Linda Stansbury is a reporter at the North Coast Journal, put out a recent article about this very subject. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org. So back to the earlier, the issue on which the reporting was based recently, the inability to get people into the nursing homes. When you ask the facilities to confirm their vacancies or at least tell you something about them, what response did you get?
They said they couldn't comment on it.
Hmm. Did they send you somewhere else?
No, they didn't. I tried speaking to administrators at the facilities and also the CEO of the facilities, and I was directed towards their public relations person. And she said on that issue they could not comment.
Hmm, not at all.
Mm-mm, no.
All right.
And I've since sent their PR person an email because I do understand at this time, according to one of the doctors at the local hospital, that they've begun readmitting people from the hospital. However, when I asked the company to confirm that, they have yet to get back to me.
All right. That's similar to a situation we had here. We got a contact on Friday after we had talked about having you on today, saying the situation has been resolved, but there was no response when we asked for details. So
mm-hmm. So
nothing in your mind. I mean, you hear this, but nobody's been able to confirm it?
That's correct.
All right. So your article in the Journal describes the situation with the nursing home shutout as a game of financial chicken, which implies at least two partners anyway. And so who are the combatants in this game of chicken?
Right. Well, again, I was not able to get either the company that runs the facilities nor Partnership Health Plan of California, who would be the other player, to confirm this is what happened. But it does, what I was hearing rumors of was that Partnership Health Plan of California, who is responsible for administering Medi-Cal payments here in Humboldt County, that the facilities or the management company for the facilities was refusing to admit patients until the reimbursement rate was raised. Again, I couldn't find anyone to confirm that directly. I can say that after over 3 months of refusing to admit patients, there was a meeting with Partnership Health Plan, and they did raise the reimbursement rate by 2%. When I spoke to the partnership spokesperson, and I asked him if that was the case, if it was if this, what he called a strategic intervention, was in response to this shutout, he said that our goal, quote-unquote, our goal is always has been and always will be to release people in close proximity to their families, and I think this rate increase reflects that. So they weren't willing to give me a direct answer on that, but that's kind of where the evidence is pointing.
When it comes back to the issue, though, of Medi-Cal money here, and we're talking about Medi-Cal reimbursement being boosted 2% through this process you just described, we're talking public money.
Yeah.
Therefore, it would seem there'd be a greater access to information here to follow the money, to find out where the public's money is being spent and how it's being spent. But it seems like you've been running into numerous obstacles to getting further information.
I have. And there are some, you know, there are some other factors in this. So if a facility is refusing to admit Medi-Cal patients and they're Medi-Cal certified, that's blatantly illegal. So that may be one of the reasons that there have been no patients admitted. You know, if someone were to investigate this and were able to establish a pattern of only Medi-Cal patients being refused care, then that would be, I think, a major legal issue for these facilities. And I spoke to the partnership spokesperson and asked him, you know, once this money reaches the facilities, how much oversight do you have over it? You know, how do taxpayers know that their money is actually being reinvested into the facilities? And you know, let me be clear, when I visited one of these facilities, they were meeting the minimum requirement, the bare bones requirement for patient care per patient, which is 3.2 hours of care per patient. The kitchen was closed, had been closed for about 6 months. They were fixing food for the patients in a trailer in the parking lot. At one point, the laundry room had been closed for about 5 months. When the ombudsman visited, there were no extra sheets to put on patient beds. I'm looking right now at a photo of this facility that shows paint chips and rotting timbers above the gutters, right above a patient room. And I think many people would be concerned that the money that they're putting, their tax dollars, may not actually be reinvested in patient care, but we have no way of confirming how it's spent.
Given that you did not get a lot of cooperation from people who either own or manage nursing homes in the process of putting this story together, I wonder if at any point somebody has mentioned to you whether there's just an issue with making any money at the nursing home business, whether it's just difficult, the margins are close, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I would love to have that information. If they were willing to open their books to me and I could look at that, I would really appreciate that. I do know that the average rate of reimbursement for a Medi-Cal patient is $170 a day. So if we just look at one facility here in Humboldt County that has 99 beds, that shakes out to $16,830. That's if all the beds are Medi-Cal patients. I don't have, I don't know all of the costs that are incurred by these facilities, but I do know that they have a large Baroque hierarchy of management above them. So they have CEOs, administrators, they have a marketing person, they have a PR person, and they have an ultimate owner who's a major philanthropist in Los Angeles. So he donates millions of dollars every year to causes in Los Angeles. So if it is a losing business, if this business is losing money, then how are all of these executive-level people being paid?
All right, so there is money coming in. The question is where it is getting spent, and it looks like it might be potentially, and I'm putting a lot of caveats here, going upstream.
Yeah.
And not staying in the facility. So the person you mentioned here, the philanthropist, is this Shlomo Reshness again?
Yes, it is.
And so there's already been the situation you mentioned where Mr. Reshness was apparently prevented from buying additional facilities in the state of California. Is that a permanent hold, and is there a legal action pending, civil remedies, criminal, anything like that?
No, it doesn't appear as though there are any criminal things that are going against him at this point. I believe actually that motion was overturned at one point. I'd have to take another look at that. I do know that one of his facilities in Fresno, California, was shut down after a patient died from an infected wound. A sponge was left in her wound. And this, by the way, comes courtesy of some really in-depth research that was done by the Sacramento Bee writers, Margie Lundstrom and Philip Reese.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been investigating this operator for over a year now. And I got a lot of good information from their work. So when his facility in Fresno was shut down, 25 of those patients ended up in Humboldt County. They were, the facility was, the patients in there were redistributed throughout the state, and 25 of them ended up in Humboldt County. And from what I understand from the senior ombudsman here is that she received several calls from family members who had no idea where their loved ones were.
We're talking about nursing home care and some issues with it in Humboldt County and other places as well, with Linda Stansbury from the North Coast Journal here on the Jefferson Exchange. So this is the opposite of the other situation, where instead of people in Humboldt County trying to get their loved ones into nursing care and having to go far away, and in some cases you mentioned into Oregon, you've got people showing up in Humboldt County nursing beds who are far away from their homes.
Yes, that's correct.
Wow. There are places people can turn for help if they've got issues. I mean, you mentioned we've already talked previously in the hour again about long-term care ombudsmans. They exist in California as well. Where else can people go if they've got issues with nursing home care, either good or just, I mean, either getting poor care or not being able to get care in the first place?
One resource that I would recommend to people would be the California Advocates for Nursing Home Reform, or CANR. You can find them online. And then there's another organization in Sacramento. The acronym is FATE. And looking that up real quick. It's www.forfate.org. And that is also an advocacy group for seniors in nursing homes.
Is that FORFATE?
No, it's FATE, Foundation Aiding the Elderly.
Okay. Let me get the URL again. Is it F O R F A T E?
www.4, numeral 4,
okay.
FATE.org.
Okay. And CANR. We'll put those up on our website along with the stuff we have about this. So, again, from the original thrust of your reporting, looking at the shutout of nursing homes, you hear that they are letting people back into nursing homes, but since nobody would confirm a shutout in the first place, nobody's particularly confirming that the iceberg is broken.
That's correct.
Hmm. So where do things go from here? I mean, you have other issues coming up that you're going to be reporting on about nursing homes?
Well, I am considering doing a follow-up article just because I have had such a interesting response from people since this article came about, and I would be interested in exploring what are some of the current issues facing these facilities. The California Department of Public Health came under fire last year because of a large amount of open cases in skilled nursing in California. I think there were over 100 cases that went uninvestigated were left open for over a year in our region, and those were cases that complaints of immediate danger to patient health. So it appears as though the California Department of Public Health is not visiting, or I should say not following up with patient complaints with the kind of regularity that would actually be useful to patients and reassuring to their loved ones.
Linda, you mentioned having some contacts with reporters at the Sacramento Bee and looking into the facility in Fresno, owned by the same owner. Do you get a sense that there are similar issues across the state of California? Any reason to believe that Humboldt County is different drastically from any other?
Sadly, from what I've understood from California Advocates for Nursing Home Reform, and in particularly, and also speaking to ombudsmen in other areas in California, is that these issues are endemic across the state and across big operators.
All right. Well, we certainly got a thorough look at what's going on in Humboldt County, both through your reporting in the North Coast Journal and for visiting us today. Linda Stansberry is a reporter at the North Coast Journal. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.